Hey everyone, welcome to Late Night QRM show number 95. I am Barry J, and I know this is a little weird because usually we have a pre-roll and then the theme and then I say welcome, but well, Windows 8 did another one on the recording and I lost the first 10 minutes of this podcast. Not sure how, don't know what happened, but I will play the pre-roll. I do have a bit of a pre-roll, and then that's when it started screwing up. So I left a little bit of that in so you could hear what I was experiencing. Needless to say, I had to go through the entire show and make sure it didn't do that anywhere else in the show. It took me a little extra long to get this out. So without further ado, here is show number 95. And, we start the show in the middle of a conversation about DSL, so you know what we're talking about when the theme's over. Okay, everybody, here's Late Night QRM show number 95. I like the soup grilling.
I chuckled when I was watching that. I was actually eating the steak and watching the movies and editing them while I was eating it. And I thought, yeah, that actually made me chuckle. See, the truth, though, I'm like, boy, if I could just figure out how to keep the broth from running through all the holes, boy, this would be good soup.
Barbecue soup. Oh, man. All right, should we start this puppy? Almost live from across the USA, this is Late Night QRM! Your hosts tonight are Josh, Barry J, Barty, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, Google has a big week. Too big to fail or too big to function. And hotel reservations are made for WWDC. All that and more on Late Night QRM. And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire. Here's Josh, Barry J, Barty, and Michael.
It's worked out rather well.
Right.
He keeps both lines really well tuned, and he tells me, "Look, if you have a problem, don't call the help desk line. Just call me."
Right.
Nice.
So, yeah, it works out really good.
Yeah, I haven't had any problems with my DSL. It's nice. I mean, I can't complain. You know, the only time I'd upgrade is if they ever put fiber in, but that's... And actually, Fairpoint is putting fiber around. But it's, you know, it's, of course, it's in the more populated areas, but, you know, hey, for the longest time, we've been out here for 15 years, and Verizon kept saying, no way you're going to get DSL. There's just no way. And then, you know, Fairpoint takes over, and a year later, we had DSL. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of liking DSL.
There's federal funds available for ISPs to spread broadband internet to rural areas.
Really?
And there has been for, I guess like 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 years.
Yeah, we're probably paying $5 a telephone call or something for that. Yeah, they should... You know, I'm happy with Fairpoint. The only thing I don't like about Fairpoint is their webpage sucks. The only two browsers you can use to get into to pay your bill or anything, right, you got to either use Microsoft Internet Explorer,
right,
or Opera.
Opera?
Yeah, they're the only two that work. So,
really kind of odd they wouldn't pick like Firefox or something, right. You know?
I've I've never tried to get into them from a Mac. I've always gone in through a Windows machine, and I've used Firefox.
You can't pay your bill, though, with Firefox. That's the problem. When you try to go in and pay your bill, nothing works. As a matter of fact, they won't even let you in. They say, sorry, you have to use Internet Explorer or Opera.
Oh, that's right. I remember that stupid screen now.
Yeah. So, and then you get in there. I go in there with, of course, Opera. It's the only reason why I have it on my system. And I go in there, and half the stuff doesn't work. You can't change the date you want the payment. You're going to pay it that day.
That minute,
or not at all.
So. I pay over the telephone with them. It's just a lot easier just to dial it in.
I just go through the credit union now. I just
send them their dough and tell them to shut up.
Yeah.
I have a payment story to send chills up your spine.
Oh, really?
Really? I bet you I can know where you're going to go with this one I don't know where you're going to go with this. I'd like to add to that when you're ready.
All right. Well, as you know, we were gone all last week. And for those listening to the podcast that shall not be known, yes, the podcast that shall not be named.
I don't think that's a good name for it.
I do talk on the podcast that I took my wife to Mayo this past week. So we've been a little preoccupied. And we were greeted to a couple of things when we got home. And one of them was this envelope on the door to my garage that says important on it, important notice. And I'm like, oh God, now what? And I open this thing up and it says, extremely important notice. Call Bank of America immediately. Hmm. And I'm looking at this and I go, oh my God. Somebody sent a courier up to Copper Harbor looking for me from Bank of America.
Jeez.
What would your first thoughts be?
That someone got to your card and has, like, charged up
about... No. They hold the mortgage on my house.
Oh.
We have been in a battle with them over their website for the last, 3-4 months.
Mm-hmm.
Because we pay every month, but we don't always pay in the grace period, so we have to pay a late fee. Mm-hmm. Well, they changed their website, and we pay the late fee, and they keep cutting us a check for the late fee and sending it back to us and then sending us a notice that we owe them the late fee.
Oh, my God, that's goofy.
And then, oh, I know, but this is Bank of America. You know what their reputation is for foreclosures?
Yes.
They pull all kinds of crap.
Yeah.
So we're calling them left and right. It's like, hey, we're trying to fix this. Well, if you want to do it on the phone, they charge you $20 per transaction to fix things over the phone.
Oh,
are you serious?
I'm serious. So we're trying to, we didn't get the mortgage with Bank of America. We had it through our local bank who then sold it, and I won't do business with that bank anymore, to Countrywide. Mm-hmm. And then when Countrywide folded, it wound up at Bank of America, and that's when the nightmare really began for us. So we've been trying to fix this, and now it's gotten to the point now where the website goes, we can't continue the transaction and any payments on your mortgage until you fix this late fee issue, except that it won't let you pay the late fee issue online.
So let me get
this. And so far, they haven't been able to fix it over the phone either.
So let me get this straight. You go to pay your bill, and they say you can't pay your bill until you pay the late fee.
Right.
So then you're going to get another late fee. Wait a minute.
And when you go to pay the late fee, one or two things have happened. They send it back to us in a check.
Yeah.
Or it just flat out won't take it on the website.
But meanwhile, every month you pay a late fee. I think they've got something going here.
Plus, I get this notice and I'm like, I run down to the post office and open up the box. There's no notice from Bank of America there. There's no messages on the machine, but there is another message that I make a note about that I'll talk about later on the show. So my wife is trying to dig out all the paperwork on the recent battles with these guys, and I just call the number. It's like, well, let's just at least find out what's going on.
Right.
And I call somebody at Bank of America, and they look up the account and goes, oh, yeah, when are you going to make your payment? And I said, we paid the mortgage 2 weeks ago.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I see that. I said, and she goes, so why are you calling? I said, because you guys hired a courier to come to my house to put a note on my door, which was at least a 2-hour round trip from the nearest place I can think of. Mm-hmm. And you scared the hell out of me. She goes, I have no idea what's going on, sir. Like, well, you know,
wow,
aren't you the ones that are supposed to know? And then I continued to tell her. I said, you know, this all started several months ago. And she goes, oh, I know where this is going. I say, okay. She goes, this has to do with a late fee on the website. And I said, yeah, you're not the only one. I said, okay, fine. We're trying to fix this. But still, why would you guys send a courier to my house? Mm-hmm. Well, one department apparently is not talking to the other. I like, yeah, that's what I thought. So somebody was sending us an eviction notice. So I'm sure there will be details at the next show. Stay tuned, folks.
Man.
Yeah. That's what happens when you deal with a bank that's too big to fail. The fucker ought to fail, damn it.
Yeah. I hear you. I hear you.
Exactly.
We went through a similar thing with City Mortgage. That was the bank that our original mortgage on this house got sold to. And they started assessing us late fees for no reason. Our payments weren't friggin' late. Because, you know, I was paying them automatically. You know, and it's like, well, wait a minute. How can this be late? You deducted it from my checking account. If you deducted it late, it's not my fault. Mm-hmm. But the thing was, is that they would deduct the money, but they wouldn't process it for who knows how long, like 3, 4, 5, 6 days. You know, if there was like a 3-day weekend in there, I was kind of screwed.
Yeah.
And they were charging me late fees, and I was trying to tell them, well, wait a minute. You took the payment on time. How are you telling me the payment is late? Well, because it didn't process until some such date. Well, how is that my problem?
Right. Yeah, especially when you got your son up for automatic payment.
Yeah, they're taking the money out of my freaking account. You know, we went round and round and round for a long time with that. And then we ended up paying some kind of a penalty fee that put it to rest. They just said, we won't send you any notices anymore. We won't complain about it. And this will just sit there. And all these late fees will just sit there. And it only become an issue when you go to sell your house.
Why should it become an issue then?
Because they still want it paid.
But they're the ones. Yeah, this is exactly why I don't do business with Citibank anymore,
but they're
too.
Like, they're another one of those huge banks that was too big to fail.
Yeah.
And it's like, they have so many departments that they can't communicate with each other, and they can't figure out where the problem is.
Yeah.
Because they can't access all the different parts of their entire banking operation.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, you know, as a simple little consumer somewhere in the woods, you're just plain screwed. You know, you're just flat out of luck. You know?
Banks that are too big to operate.
I just did whatever kind of steps I could take to get this stuff to stop showing up on my credit report.
Yeah.
Because this was just bullshit.
I would still be fighting that. I mean, that's exactly why.
Well, the only way I can fight it is to get a lawyer and spend a few $1,000s.
Yeah, that's true. Just,
you know, and I think at that point it would become a wash. I'd end up breaking even, you know. So, but since then, the Citibank, I forget what happened with them, but they got an investigation and had to dump a lot of their loans, and we ended up getting picked up by Midland Bank. And things have been really smooth with them.
Good.
Excellent.
That's nice. Yeah, we're with Fannie Mae. Our bank sold us to Fannie Mae. And it's managed by the bank, though. So, because I don't think Fannie Mae does any of their management. They just hold on to the mortgages. So, but so far, we haven't had any problems with that. But I had problems with Citibank. They took over a bunch of credit cards one time, and I was having the same problem. As I'd do electronic transfers, right? I mean, Citibank, you know, I go to my bank, I go on their website and pay the frickin' bill through their website. They would transfer it. I could see from the bank statement when they actually transferred the money, which was the day they said, you know, I set up. But then they said, oh, well, you got a late fee because we didn't process it for 3 or 4 days until 3 or 4 days after that. And I'm like, how am I supposed to know how long it's going to take you to process a frickin' bill?
Exactly. How is that your frickin' problem?
And why, with today's computers, that you can transfer it out of my bank into your bank, why does it take you so long to process it? It's a frickin' computer transaction.
because it's a scam, man.
Yes, it is. And it's their way of getting
money. The thing I have against that whole friggin' bailout was because they didn't want to have any problems with banks that were too big to fail. And you know what? Those banks should have friggin' failed.
Yes, they should have. They should have let them fail. You know, right now I'm having some issues with American Express that I have to go. I have to chat with them tomorrow because, well, actually I have to get my wife to do it because it's her American Express card. But you know how they was it last year or 2 years ago they passed a law and basically said, you got to get the statements or your statements have to be the same day every month and your due dates are the same every month. They used to float them around sometimes and people would get confused and sometimes they'd shorten the time on you and you wouldn't get a full 30 days or something to pay the bill. Mm-hmm. Well, they made a law that said they can't do that. And for the past couple of years, you know, that's pretty much true. I can set my watch to when bills are due. And American Express especially, you know, it was always due on the 5th of the month. Well, I got this month's bill like I normally do, but now it's not due on June 5th. It's due on May 26th.
And how's that?
I don't know. I have to go find out. And I actually went back through you know a year's worth of bills. And it was always, you know, the 5th of every month. That's when it was due. And suddenly this month, oh, you got less time to pay it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to chat with them and see why, you know. Maybe once a year they're allowed to change the billing date, but you would think they'd have to tell you in big letters.
Well, one would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, I am so tired of credit card and companies and banks, same thing.
Yeah.
You know.
So that was the financial
aspect. Yeah.
Let's go to the tech news.
Yeah.
Google I/O happened.
It's a big
week.
Google week this week, and I gotta say up front before we go over the stories that, and I didn't watch it. I just got the highlights from some of the tech shows, but it sure did remind me of the way Apple's WWDC used to be like. There are a lot of neat new things that Google announced this week. And the presentation was very good. Although, people said it was a tad long. Usually, Apple's are an hour and a half keynote speeches. Google's was like 4.5 hours.
Holy smokes.
Yeah. But they had a lot of stuff to present. And I've got to say, and Michael, thank God you're going. So you can tell us, give us the in story there.
Reporter on the street. I'll be there.
Because I'm telling you right now, if Apple doesn't have a winning WWDC coming up, if it's just more of the same that we've seen the past couple of years, which haven't been...
Stellar,
yes. Android's beginning to look more better and better because Google had some really cool things announced this time. And even though they're going to be... They are putting them on iOS also. It's not the same as running them on an Android platform. And because iOS won't, well, Apple won't let you take control of the iOS, you know, command, where the Google stuff works hand in hand with Android. So I don't know. I got to see. This WWDC better be good. Otherwise, I'm going to start believing that Steve is gone and so is Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of scary. Google, well, the first thing was Google updated Hangouts. And there's now a Hangout app. And if you haven't downloaded it, download it because it does not only video, but it does messaging, just like Apple's messages.
Well, you know, it's really kind of interesting because a lot of the Google stuff that's coming to iOS is better than a lot of the original Apple apps that are synonymous with it.
Yes.
And that's kind of like you're going to, even if you buy your hardware from Apple and run the Apple OS on it, that you're going to be all Googleized on it. Because Google is, everything is all integrated and it all seems like it's going to be working together. And it's going to be the same kind of environment that you have like with your to-do list and things like that on iOS. It all transfers over to the desktop, you know. Mm-hmm. And
but you, the only problem is with iOS is you got to start it. You got to start the app for it to work, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah, everything's sandboxed.
Yes, with you know, you like the other thing they announced, they've got their they've got a Google Now voice search that's inside Chrome, and on the Android, that's, you know, you hit the button and you can start talking to it, or you say okay Google, and then you ask your question and it works. Of course, on iOS they'll have it, but you're going to have to start Chrome first and then say okay Google. It won't be the default like Siri is.
Yeah, hitting the home button twice and just talking to Siri, yeah.
Right, and you don't have the choice to swap out Siri for the Google one.
So how does that work on an Android device? Do you just hit the home button twice and just start talking to Google?
I'm not sure because I don't have an Android device. Well,
according to John C. Dvorak, you okay. can start talking, which really set them off because they're like,
yeah. That's,
you don't
a
have to start
strange.
The app. That means it's listening all the time. I can't yeah. confirm that. I'm going to be checking that out this week.
Yeah, well, you've got some Android devices, right? So,
yep. Yes, I do.
So, you're going to be our number one Google reporter here. Tell us all about these things. That would scare me a little bit because I don't want my
monkey in the field.
I don't want my phone listening to me all the time.
Right.
Because that means somebody else is listening to me all the time. Or can be.
Right.
Bum, bum, bum.
Big brother.
So, yes. Yeah, so,
there's a new bumper.
You're right. Bum, bum, bum. Big brother.
I'm gonna have to.
That sounds too much like Hot Pockets.
Exactly. I'll have to get the music.
What was that story? Well, Google's in bed with the FBI, so that's mm-hmm. not too far off. Big brother could actually be listening all the time.
Actually, I think Google was in bed with the CIA and Facebook was in bed with the FBI, wasn't it? Or something like that.
Yeah. Boy, yeah, you're right.
Conspiracy theories segment here. That's supposed to be the second half of the show.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was all giddy with excitement.
And Apple's in bed with the White House, I think. That's it.
The White House. But I thought that Obama was a BlackBerry dude.
Well, yes, he is. Only because he had one going into the presidency, and that's the only one he's allowed to have now, because they have a special BlackBerry for him.
That's retarded.
Yeah, BlackBerry is retarded.
It is. you can't get any more antiquated or ass backwards.
Yeah, but Jash has been updated. He has the Turbo Gerbil plugin.
What's this crap about a DirecTV phone app?
Oh, we haven't gone through the rest of the Google stuff yet.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we you know, we might as well make all the announcements here. They also announced Google Play Music All Access, which is a very long name, which is a streaming service. And beat Apple from their supposed iRadio that's coming up.
But you know, streaming services don't really impress me because I don't really have enough bandwidth to really use it. You know.
Well, with audio, it's not too bad.
TV, if I'm willing to suffer with standard definition, mm-hmm. I can watch TV shows and movies and things like that. But yeah. You know, like on Hulu or the Amazon Prime and things mm-hmm. like that. But high def, forget it.
But audio is not bad at all. It doesn't take much bandwidth at all. Matter of fact, my wife uses her. She listens to iHeartRadio and listens to talk radio and music and stuff while she's working with headphones in, and she streams it all the time, and it's going across the cell phone network, and you know, it's a mere blip in the data.
How about Pandora?
So Pandora is supposed to be it's the same way. It's not that the anything that's just audio only is not real heavy on the network on the bandwidth.
That's really gotten a lot of decent sound out of Pandora.
The music doesn't really sound
very robust.
Mm.
Sounds kind of weak, almost like I'm listening in mono.
Depends which version you're using, though, Barty. First of all, on the standard Pandora app, if you go into options, there is a sound quality option in there. And it allows you to bump up the bandwidth, but they just warn you that, you know, that you could possibly get more pauses. I finally bit the bullet because I do enjoy Pandora. I want to see them stay around, so I got Pandora 1. And they bump up the bandwidth again, and they bump up the buffering. So I find it incredibly smooth with no advertisement. For me, it's worth the $3 a month for that.
Hmm. Yeah. This is going to be like $9.99, but you also get to look at the list and edit the list. You'll be able to see what music's coming up ahead of it. And you can say, nah, I don't want to hear that song. And you can basically delete music you want out of it.
I'm too cheap to pay $10 a month.
Well, I don't listen to enough music. And if I can't use this at work, that's the only place I really would listen to music is at work. And I can't use it at work. So, our illustrious employer blocks all that stuff. And if they don't, if you use it for 2 days, they will block it. Yeah.
Yeah, I found that out trying to watch Google I.O. About halfway through, all of a sudden, all the feeds were dying.
Really?
Yeah, no matter where I switched to, it was all just dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
I started on Engadget, and I forget where I went next, but, you know, when Engadget died, they were smart enough to nail down all the other places you could get it from.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only way you could do it. Well, I know a way to do it. But you have to set up your own
VPN
to your home computer. And then you run it on your home computer and then access it
back through.
Yep. Through your own VPN, because then it's encrypted and they don't know what it is.
Yeah, well, I bring my iPad to work and I've got my little mobile hotspot, but, you know... I didn't want to use up all my data time on it.
Well, but I sit inside a skiff, so I can't.
Yeah, you're just totally screwed.
Yeah, I'm totally screwed. It's like, you know, we're still using, you know, sticks and dirt in there to communicate.
Sticks and dirt. Well, we at least have a red phone. I mean, geez.
Yeah, we have one of those too, I guess, if you want to call it that, but it's not red, it's black.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
So, our Cypronet phones are red, but they're not called red phones. It's like, you got to be kidding me. Why don't you switch the lines or something, you know? Yeah. How hard can that be? It's just a device.
Jeez. But that's my problem. Even though I'm one of the few people that are allowed to have a Gold Link. Oh, I shouldn't have said that.
You might be able to
tell who.
Fortunately, this is not Ustream.
Exactly. I see some editing in the show.
Yeah, you're going to hear like a little...
Fortunately, I have a...
I have an open...
Fortunately, I have AOL.
I have a computer that accesses the internet inside that I'm allowed to have.
Fortunately, I have CompuServe.
Prodigy.
Exactly. My Earthlink connection is excellent at work.
But it's got to be at least 3 feet away from the other computer.
Yes, because the evil might ooze out of one into the other.
Right. I don't know how, but then.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
You cannot really underestimate the extent of paranoia.
Yeah. Well, I just call it security logic. That's what I call it. Because
it's the same thing.
If it makes no sense at all, the answer will be no. Or if it, you know, if it's very logical, the answer will be no. Well, the answer's always no at first. Hey, can I know?
Well, but you know, it comes down to it. If I don't know what you're talking about, the answer is no.
Oh, and that's pretty much everything.
And that's every big word.
Exactly. Hey, that's the way it seems to boil down to me. When you go to security to talk to them about something, it's like if they have no idea what you're talking about, they just say no.
Yep.
Because it's the easiest. Yeah. It's like water running down a hill. They're going to take the path of least resistance, mm-hmm. and that's it.
Yep.
You use big words. No. You tried to confuse me with your big words now.
Yeah. I like my approach. Hey, I'd like to stop using. No, you've got to use that. Well, thank you.
Thank you. I like that.
Reverse psychology. I never thought about that. That might work. I'm going to try that. Well, the other big announcement from Google was, they have a play game service, and I don't know anything about it, but there's a link if you want to read about it. I just threw in all the things that they announced, and then the final thing that they announced was they've upgraded Google Maps, and that's also coming to the iPad and iPhone.
I got an invite from Google to accept an invitation to be notified when it becomes available, because I was recognized as a Google Maps user.
Wow.
I was like, yeah, that's what I thought. How the hell did they know that?
So you've been invited to receive...
So they must have heard this podcast a few months back when I was bitching about the loss of Google Maps on iOS.
Yeah.
You remember those?
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm never going to be invited because I kept saying, well, Apple's not that bad.
Yeah, really. So you screwed yourself.
Oh, man.
I just got an email that said, as an avid Google Maps user, we would like to let you know that a new Google Maps will be available soon. Would you like to be invited to that? And I said, well, hell yeah.
Wait a minute.
I clicked the button, and they said, okay, you'll be notified. I heard. I just got a little email back that said, you'll be notified.
Have you ever?
And I was like, well, okay.
Did you ever think, why do they know I'm using Google Maps so much?
Because your phone is slipping.
Yeah, well, I do use it on my iPhone, and I use the turn-by-turn directions on Google Maps. And I use it on my iPad, and I use it on my desktop here at home and at work.
Oh, and by the way, next time you take that trip to 1520 Spaulding Street, whatever town you were in Virginia.
Well, you know what? They do remember the routes, because we go back to a lot of these sites on a regular basis, and when you put that address in, they do remember the route you took the last time, and they said, well, last time you went this way, even though we recommended this route.
Would you like to go back to the top secret underground bunker that you were not supposed to remember?
Well, my friend, when he has an Android, and when he first got Google Now, and basically it was the first time he was using it, he brought it up, and they said, are you going to work now? Here's what the traffic looks like between here and place of employment.
Exactly.
Here's the traffic. That's
the whole thing that I love about Google Maps on the iPhone is when you go to tell it that you want to go to this address, and like the last trip I was on, every day it sent me a different direction to my work site from my hotel, and it was all based upon the traffic. Wow. I said, like, well, today the quickest route would be to come this way. Even though it's longer, it's going to be faster because there's a traffic issue on the route you went yesterday. Okay, fine with me. Just make sure you tell me where my turns are. They're a little. My big complaint is that they're a little late about telling you your turns, and they don't give you the street name. They just kind of say, take a left in 0.5 miles. Well, okay, that's fine, but could you say take a left on something such street in 0.5 miles so I can be looking for the sign?
That would be nice.
Because their 0.5 doesn't always tend to be exactly 0.5. It could be 0.3 to 0.6 or 7, you know? And in a city environment, that could be like 2 or 3 blocks.
Well, I use Waze, and it sends me to work a different path every day, too.
Well,
not because of traffic, but just because it can't figure out where the hell I work. And even though I've used Waze every day for 2 years, and it supposedly gets smarter every time you use it and figures out your paths.
Sure it does.
I get down to Peterborough. I get up on 202 to Peterborough, and of course I got to go east, so I got to make a right on 101. It always tells me to make a left, go up to the circle, go around the circle, and come back down.
It's just like circles.
Through the intersection.
It's British. It likes circles.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's just...
Well, the big problem that I have here going back and forth to work is that there's basically only one way to get there, and half of it doesn't have cell service. So,
But isn't the new Google, or at least in the most recent times with Google Maps, if they kind of know where you're going, they'll pre-download the entire route or a good chunk of it if it's a long trip ahead of time, so you'll have all the maps?
Yeah. Because when we go down to Virginia, rather than flying, I prefer to drive because I love flying, but I hate dealing with airports. And really, for the amount of time it takes you to drive to Virginia, it's about the same amount of time to fly there.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a lot less aggravation.
Yep. Yeah, just get in the car and go.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you can stop where you want. You know, you really can't park an airplane when you have to go to the bathroom. You got to go in their little closet, you know?
Yeah, yeah. The water closet.
Yeah.
So.
Yes.
But, yeah, I've driven to enough places in Virginia that Google remembers my routes, and they plan ahead for traffic and things like that. When I start getting halfway there, they start notifying me of traffic problems going around D.C. and things like that.
Yeah. I got to try Google a little more often. I mean, actually, I should try using it to go to work instead of Waze for a while and see if they... Well, not that I run into a lot of traffic, but...
I got to ask a question because it just popped into the back of my mind. But is Waze that the app that we used?
Yes.
You and I went out to try to take us by way of, like, Rhode Island to Northern Hampshire?
Yeah, I only use it when I know where I'm going.
So what in the hell good is it then?
Well, it does, because the good thing about it that I like is other people that are using Waze report on things. So chances are you're going to find out about things a lot faster.
Yeah, two states away, because it doesn't know where the hell you are.
It's always good to know what's happening in Rhode Island.
Well, it must work.
There's a speed trap in Providence. No shit, I'm in Jaffrey. Thanks for letting me know, though.
I'll call my friends.
Apparently, it works really well in California because Leo Laporte swears by Waze along with a bunch of other people, and they love it. But, man, here, I tell it to give me directions, and yes, it's like... it takes me 50 miles out of the way to get there. And you know, sometimes it doesn't even put me in the right state. You know?
Nice.
I want to go to work. It's in Merrimack. Oh, okay. We'll take you to Merrimack, Massachusetts.
Sweet.
You know, I don't think there's even a
company. Two of those.
Our company doesn't even have a place in Merrimack, Massachusetts. Oh, that's all right. We know that's where you want to go. Yeah,
yeah, I have the same problem with it because a big chunk of my commute has no cell service, so of course no Waze users have mapped any part of it. And we don't really have a lot of Waze users, period, on my way to work, so most of my commute is really kind of sketchy as far as Waze is concerned, so they don't really know where the hell I'm at, where I'm going, or anything, what's going on. So it's really not very useful to me at all.
I pretty much mapped the entire Monadnock region with Waze when it first came out.
Well, someday somebody will appreciate your efforts. I mean, you know, when there's a second person in the Monadnock region that uses Waze, they're going to appreciate the fact that somebody went through all this trouble to get this done. You'll be their hero, Barry.
Actually, absolutely.
There's a who was who? I saw something. Somebody's talking about buying Waze.
Well, Apple was for Facebook. A while. There was a rumor that Apple.
Facebook. Was that's it. Yeah. Apple was talking about it, which would have probably been a good mix because then maybe Apple. Well, I was going to say maybe Apple would have fixed it, but
Apple Maps might have actually been fixed.
Yeah, but yes, Facebook is talking about buying it. So. But
which is really kind of weird. I mean, what the hell is Facebook going to do with a map?
And collect data. That's all they care about. Just like Google. Yeah, Google doesn't. Google offers you all these free services so they can collect data on what you're doing.
And target ads.
Yes,
ads to you.
Target ads and sell your data to other people. So you know. It's
shame.
That's what it's all about. You know, nothing's.
What's this entry free. About Apple striking a content deal with CW Networks?
Yeah. I mean,
like, who cares? What's on CW that anybody really wants to watch?
Supernatural. I watch Supernatural.
I think there's. Isn't that where it does? Oh no, that's not zombies, right?
That's all has been TV Walking shows, Dead. Isn't it?
No, Supernatural is brand new. This is in its last season right now.
The big deal about this.
Oh, so it will be a has been next year.
Okay. The big deal about this is that this is the first network that's actually going to show live stuff on Apple, and it's going to be network. So it's beginning. It's what it proves is the networks are starting to see, old media is starting to see, hey, things are changing out there. We got to come along and be a part of this, and mm-hmm. this is the beginning of that. And I don't believe you need to have be a subscriber to any other service. This is going to be CW on Apple. They made the deal.
Yeah, well, CW is already on Microsoft because I downloaded the app 2 weeks ago on my Xbox.
Really?
And I've been watching the CW channel on it for 2 weeks.
Huh.
See it in high def?
Yeah.
I wonder why they didn't announce it. Microsoft didn't announce that.
Whenever you go into your Xbox Live and you sign in, and you can go to My Apps or you can browse. Every once in a while, I just go in here to browse. That's where you find your Netflix, your Google Plus, YouTube, Crackle, and I went, "Wow, CW, which has a lot of shows that would be sold to Hulu Plus." Now, Hulu Plus, we pay $8 a month for, and you always see the show the very next day. Well, now with the CW app, I can watch it same day.
You know, Hulu Plus is free if you watch it on your computer, and since you like to hook your computer up to your TV.
No, Hulu Plus isn't free, from what I understand.
Hulu is free.
Hulu Plus you pay for.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. That's the way it's always been.
But do you get anything extra on the computer for Hulu Plus?
I never watch regular Hulu, to be honest with you. I have no friggin' desire to even look. I between Netflix and Hulu Plus and the CW and Crackle, and then I get my sports off the net as it is now. So now with Aereo coming out.
Yeah, speaking of which, that was supposed to happen last week. Have you been notified?
No. It's the 30th. It was released on the 15th. If you go to the website, I read
keep up, Barry. Jeez. Okay.
On the 30th this month is when they're going to go, boom, okay, all you folks who pre-registered, here you go. Send us the dough. And that's when that's going to happen. On the 15th is when it was officially, okay, now we've got it working. And as of the 30th, now we're going to try and pull in that Boston market.
Okay.
And registered folks.
And they just announced that in June they're going to open up in Atlanta next. So they're moving ahead. But, and there's a story a little bit down, so we'll cover that now. ABC announced they've got the Watch ABC app, which goes live on the App Store for iOS products. And I think it's going to go on Android.
I think you can already download it.
Yes, I think, matter of fact, mine updated already.
Because I noticed that it automatically updated my iPad.
Now, I don't know what their story, but this story says that it's supposed to go live in New York and Philadelphia, which means you're going to be able to watch live ABC on your things. But you got to be a subscriber to some kind of service.
Whether it be Comcast or Verizon or whoever provides Xfinity, for TV, right?
But then you can watch it. And supposedly they're doing this, and you're going to see all the other networks start to do this to try to compete with Aereo. Mm. So,
it could be some interesting times up ahead as far as that goes. You know, because John McCain, we talked about this in a previous episode, that John McCain introduced a bill in the Senate to force cable companies and satellite providers to unbundle all of their offerings and let consumers order things a la carte, you know, and that's coming out at the same time that a lot of these efforts are taking hold. And I think the two of them could really, really play together, because even if Congress doesn't really go along with that, which with the TV money that'll be thrown at them, I'm sure that they won't let it pass. But there's going to be a lot of attention paid to the fact that this stuff is already occurring, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, you know, the thing is, before, you could see the new media thing starting to, you know, take effect well, with podcasting and people like Leo Laporte and people doing live. Now YouTube has live channels, and they just...
pay channels now.
They have pay channels too, but they just opened it up and said anybody can get a live YouTube channel if you have 1,000 subscribers or higher. Mm-hmm. So they're opening it up. So now all of a sudden old media, which was just ignoring all this stuff in the past, is now saying, "Oh, wait a minute. We've got to really pay attention to this, or otherwise we're going to be out of business."
Right.
So and it's really starting to roll now. I mean, before it was just a little bit here, and you wait another 6 months and something else would happen. Another year goes by and something else would happen. But now it's like week after week things are changing. And so we'll see where it all hammers out in the end.
Biggest change for us this week was that we dumped DirecTV after talking to you last week and hearing it. Well, you know, because I always thought there was like a big termination fee, but listening to Barry last week, he was saying, no, that wasn't the case. And actually, it cut my payment in half for this month because, like Barry is pointing out, is that you pay in advance. Mm-hmm. So instead of the $76 I would have paid, I ended up paying $33 and like 3 cents, and I'm done with DirecTV.
Yeah.
Of course, they did offer me a whole plethora of deals to stay with them.
Yeah.
You know, that they were offering all kinds of money off for like 6 months and maybe a little bit less off for 12 months and, and all this on and on. You know, I was like, you know what? No, forget this stuff. I told them, look, I've got both DirecTV and Dish in the house. The only reason I had DirecTV was for the NFL Sunday Ticket, and I've decided that I'm sick and tired of paying that kind of money to watch football, mm-hmm. Especially since it looks like I'm going to be on the road more in the next few months, and I'm not going to get to watch that much football anyway.
Right.
So, screw it. I don't, to me, watching football on a laptop screen or a iPad is all fine and good, but when I'm paying the kind of money that DirecTV charges, if I can't put it on a big screen in a hotel room, then I don't want to hear about it.
Right.
Hey, so, my name's Justin. What if I offer you English subtitles for that Spanish-speaking package that you want?
Yeah. And I told them, my biggest gripe is I do have to subscribe to a package just to be able to get the DirecTV. And I says, you have a New England sports package that I would just love to have. And if I could just have that as my package, I would be more than happy to buy DirecTV's NFL Sunday Ticket and have the New England sports package. If you could give me that year-round, the New England sports package, I'd be happy. But, of course, they will not do that. That's an additional charge on top of whatever TV package you choose to have.
Right.
So, I told them, look, if you ever change your policy, give me a call. I'd be interested. But until then... Arrivederci, sayonara, auf Wiedersehen, see you later, goodbye.
And the other thing with oh geez, now I just forgot what I was going to say.
As an old person, I can relate.
What was going in my head at that time, thinking, oh God, it went.
But that's the whole bottom line. Yeah. I don't mind paying for the NFL Sunday Ticket. I just hate the idea of paying for a television programming package that I really never watch, because all I have DirecTV for is just the NFL Sunday Ticket. And my wife and I are trying to figure out ways to pay for a new furnace, and I'm like, well, let's get rid of this.
Yeah, that's what we were doing. We were looking at how we can save money here and there, and we were cutting things out, lower, going down to if we subscribe to some, is there something that we could go do without, because TV especially, because it's like, I don't watch half the channels. Speaking of which, the final update for me and DirecTV is I got my box of empty boxes this past week, and everything was shipped back to them.
Nice. How long did that take you to get those boxes of empty boxes?
Well, they showed up last week, and I canceled it the Friday before.
Okay.
So Friday a week ago, mm-hmm. is when I...
It's taking us longer. Well, no, wait a minute. We just canceled this past week, so I guess we got another week to go before we get ours.
You'll probably get them this week.
That's good.
Yeah. So.
I want to get this over with. I don't like this. I really don't like things just kind of like hanging over my head indefinitely.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. We shipped them off. Matter of fact, we shipped them off Friday, and so they're going back to there, and I'm waiting for the final bill to come, and that's it. So, and while we're talking DirecTV, I just wanted to say this came up. This sounded kind of interesting, but DirecTV's updated their iPhone app, and they've added voice search to it. So you can, you know, bring up the iTunes or the DirecTV app, and I don't know, you press a button or something, and you can talk. You know, you can say what you're searching for. Of course, what they don't tell you is you've got to scream at it for 15 minutes before it'll do what you ask it to do.
You ask it for terms of endearment, and it says, what, Debbie does Dallas? No, terms of endearment!
So,
but, you want me to share that?
Oh, Deer Hunter!
Oh, yes. I don't know. I still love my Hoppa.
Yeah. Hey, how's that working for you?
Oh,
how
it's
many
great.
TVs you have in your house?
I only got two.
Oh, okay.
So
you have a Hopper and one Joey?
Yeah, that's all I've got. And okay. It works great.
Here, we've got two dish boxes. We have a DVR one and the regular one. And each box services two TVs. Hmm. The one that's directly connected gets high def, and the secondary one gets standard def.
Okay.
So you can run four TVs, and we've got four TVs in the house.
But there's only two of you, right?
Pardon me?
There's only two of you, right?
Yeah. We've got a bedroom TV. My wife has one in her living room. I have one in my living room. We have one in the dining room.
You could probably get away with just getting a Hopper and a couple of Joeys.
Yeah, that's the only thing. I've been looking at the cost, and if with four TVs, you'd have to have the Hopper and three Joeys. And it's like, God, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's the whole reason you went into this is for cost savings.
Yeah.
And now you're slowly but surely climbing rung by rung higher.
Well, you see, we were talking about, again, buying another TV because we miss it having it in the family or in the kitchen. Yeah. And we were going to buy another TV. And I said, I'm going to have to rent another DirecTV box or something, you know, to get it in the kitchen and stuff. And with the Hopper now, it's like.
Another Joey.
I told you, well, no, don't even have to do that because Emery, because they've got built in.
Go ahead, say it. Say it, Barry.
I can't think of it now.
Say it, Barry. Spit it out, damn you.
I got that old timer's disease.
Yeah.
Good old what's it called?
God, sling box. There we go. Oh, okay. Man, I could freaking see their logo and everything. I just couldn't.
So sling box is built into the Hopper?
It's built into the Hopper, and so she's got her Mac Mini out there with a 20-inch display, and then we were talking about getting a TV about that size, a small TV for the kitchen. So
how could you use sling box to send stuff to a bedroom TV and a dining room TV?
Well, I would say the bedroom you'd probably want to get a Joey, but with any place else that you don't, you know, you're just kind of sort of watching TV.
You
use Slingbox. You just bring it up on you bring it up on a browser and you put it full screen, and it's just like watching regular TV.
Yeah, I'd like.
How
to
much
jump
is a Joey rental a month?
What'd you say, Michael?
So I'd like to jump in a little bit.
Okay.
I don't know if they still run the system, but yeah, my mom was on Dish for a short period of time before AT&T made a U-verse offer to her that was actually really good. She's one of the few people in the country that can actually get U-verse. But it was before the Hopper, but she had a the DVR equivalent, the TiVo equivalent of their Dish network receiver,
right?
And on her high def TV, on her high def TV in the living room, she had that receiver on, you know, the high def TV. But then it basically had the equivalent of a cable TV out of that box that didn't require anything else. You just we ran that cable TV out of that TiVo box into the old cable network that I had made for the house, and she's got like six TVs throughout the house, and they didn't get digital, but they got the standard the standard def content on each of those TV sets using the cable TV tuner built into the TV set off of that output from the Dish Network receiver. I didn't have to buy any additional equipment.
I don't know if that's there.
That's what we have, Michael.
Okay. But yeah, I didn't need anything special. I just had the one Dish TV, the one Dish Network, whatever you call that thing, receiver.
We have a second receiver because we want to have high def in the dining room.
Okay.
We don't really care what the definition is in the bedroom because we don't really watch TV that much in the bedroom. So, and that's using the cable system you're talking about, and it's getting standard definition.
Right.
You can watch, you know, all your channels and everything. You have everything available that you do on the on the main box. The only difference is you don't get high def. So even though it's
right, but it'll keep more than one TV. It's just basically like feeding cable into the house at that point. But it's just standard.
It's exactly the same thing because we do the same thing too. Because we used to have a guest room before we turned it into a storage / workout room. And we had a TV in there, and we had TV someplace else. Oh, down in the basement, because we were spending time down there going through boxes that we had packed up in Alaska in 95 and hadn't unpacked until we got here in 2004. So we had a TV down there, and we were running it all through the same thing like Michael's talking about.
Yeah.
But it's all standard def. But the one in the basement was like an old TV, you know, the old CRT-type TV. You know, the two-ton thing, you know, so it didn't really matter because it didn't do high def anyway, so it was perfect for that. And it was good background noise while we were unpacking and looking at, what the hell is this? Oh, you remember way back when?
Yeah. Well, the way the Slingbox works, of course, if you got a regular computer, you bring it up in a browser and then you can full screen it. So
the computer has to be regular?
Well...
Like you have to feed it a lot of fiber, or what you're talking about by a regular computer?
Well, it doesn't get constipated. That's it.
Oh, you mean non-Windows? Oh, I get it. Linux or Mac is fine. Okay.
If you have iOS stuff, I think it works on Android stuff too. They have the Dish app, and you can use Slingbox to the Dish app. So if you got your iPad, you can use that as a television.
You get high def.
It can go high def. It all depends on the network you're on. But if you're on your local network,
well, I have a gigabit network in the house.
Yeah, I think that's a good question though. Does it have to go out to the Slingbox server and come back, or does it?
So it almost.
I think it only has to do that to make the connection or to connect you up. But once you're connected up, it might be just.
It almost
local
sounds
network.
Like Barry that instead of renting a Joey. And spending money every month, if you just went out and bought a Slingbox client and directed it to your Hopper, you should be able to get high def to any TV.
Well,
you pay a one-time cost for the equipment.
But I don't think they make a Slingbox client.
Yeah, they've made them for years.
Okay, I haven't been up on the Slingbox stuff since I have the original Slingbox, and that was many
years
ago.
It was one that you could buy to take with you on trips, and connect back to your Slingbox at home, and watch your home programming in a hotel room
on the TV in the hotel room.
Yeah.
Okay, because the only thing I've ever used my old Slingbox was I'd watch TV from home on my laptop. So it's working, and Anne-Marie likes to watch. She goes to bed early most nights, especially during the week, so she'll go upstairs and watch TV, and so it's good for her to have the Joey because she can flip channels, and she gets high def up there. And
getting the backside off of the older Dish equipment, you can flip through channels and stuff, but you're stuck with high standard def instead of high def.
I'll have to look at
that. But I don't want to spend a lot of money for a bunch of Joeys. Yeah. I mean, geez, that gets expensive.
Well, I'm just saying, you get the Joeys where you really want to get decent. TV where you're going to sit down and watch it, just like you're going to sit down and watch it in the family room or whatever.
And that's why I was wondering if you could get a Slingbox client box, you know, pay a one-time fee to buy the equipment, and then from then on, you don't have to worry about monthly fees to watch high def anywhere you want it. You just buy all your clients.
I don't know. I don't know whether, I mean, Dish owns Slingbox. It may work. I'm not sure.
Do they now? I didn't know that.
Yes, that's why they offer it, because they bought Slingbox.
So I guess Slingbox might be a whole different proposition these days. But back when I was looking at buying Slingbox clients and getting a Slingbox master for the home was because it was a separate entity, and they had total say of their operations. But now that a satellite provider owns them, it could be drastically different. You know, just like if Comcast had bought them, for instance, you know.
Yeah. Well, they still
would disappear.
They do, they still offer the independent sling boxes. You can still pick them up. And
yeah, but I wonder how much functionality is still left compared to what they used to offer when they were just a separate company.
Oh, I think it's the same. Matter of fact, they've improved them.
Excuse me.
They've improved them. The only thing I don't like about the new Sling boxes is the funky case they put them in, because they're trying to be all modern, but it's kind of like this warped looking box that you can't put anything on top of. You know, maybe they want it that way, but you know, it's you know, they're trying to have a funky design to it. But supposedly, you know, there's people out there that love Sling boxes, and supposedly there's an underground network of people who share their Sling boxes. They'll set up a Sling box.
John C. Dvorak is tied into one of those.
Yeah.
If you listen to him talk on Leo's show, he talked on Twit, This Week in Tech. He talks about that he connects the Sling boxes that he has left in other countries all around the world when he goes there. And people were like, yeah, I mean, they're happy to get a Sling box. So that, yeah, okay, you can buy me a Sling box. You know, I'll give you access to it.
I think there's a network of people that will put Sling boxes up there and just put them on their network, and then they share Sling boxes so people can
go and watch it. He talks about watching broadcasts from all these different foreign countries and things. It's like, man, I would love to be able to tie into all that stuff.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be awesome. It'd be worth learning foreign languages for.
I'd like to get it just so I could watch rugby instead of having
rugby. Slingbox on TV on the UK.
Yeah.
You could watch, you know, all the stuff from Sky One and BBC and you know,
Lifetime. I like that stuff. I used to watch a lot of that stuff when I was stationed in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a small remote site in Turkey, and half the population on the base were British. So, of course, they contracted out to get, like, Sky One, like Jess was talking about, and a couple other UK channels. And that stuff was really awesome stuff to watch. Because all the American stuff was, like, you know, 2 or 3 years old, you know. If you follow the internet, you were already caught up with what was going on, you know?
Yeah. So, yeah, I would love to get the Cricket Network.
Crickets. Well, if you can figure out.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think anybody but a Brit loves to watch cricket.
Yeah, I've watched that. Like, I can't make any sense out of that game at all.
I don't know how it's played.
Explain the rules to me, because it seems like a totally squirrely thing.
I have no idea.
Australian rules rugby kind of blew me away. It makes the NFL look like a pack of freaking sissies. Yeah. If these guys have no pads, bunches of muscles, and they pound into each other at full speed, and they get up and just keep going.
Yeah.
It's like, holy crap. You know, you threw a few NFL players into that mix, and they'd be dead in minutes.
I know. They call that footy over there.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Yeah, it's good. I like regular rugby, too. And they have
both. I was in a business trip to Sydney, and my hotel looked out into a playing field for the local rugby team.
Oh, cool.
And so I could watch about half the game, because I could see like half the field. It was like, you know, from a little bit past midfield to the other end zone. So, you know, there would be part of the game I wouldn't be able to see because they were playing at the part that was blocked by their building.
Yeah.
But the rest of it I could see, and I was just like watching them, and I was like, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
So I would tune in to the local TV stations to watch, and it was like, it wasn't just that one team. It was everywhere. They were just beating the crap out of each other. And when I was stationed in Alaska, it was the same thing. When the rivers would freeze over it in the winter, they would clear off the snow off the ice, and they would play rugby at minus 20 below.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd see these guys wearing nothing but T-shirts and shorts pounding into each other.
Yeah.
But they'd come into the bar at halftime all sweating, all wet with sweat. And I was like, how the hell can this be? And man, I tell you what, those dudes used to drink a ton.
Yeah.
And then you go back out there for the second half. Man.
Yeah, it's a fun sport to watch too. And once you start learning it, when I was over there for 3 weeks, and you know, rugby and footy were all over the place, and it takes a while to get used to it. It'd be better if somebody could help was there that knows it to explain things to you. But it's definitely faster, way faster going in American football,
and much more rugged. I tell you, the average NFLer wouldn't last more than a few minutes without his pads.
No.
But those the way
hell, they wouldn't be able to run that long.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I tell you, it sure puts American football in a whole different light when you see this kind of stuff.
Yeah. So.
Well, on that rough note, I really got to be running, dudes. Okay. I'm a little bit behind.
All right, Barty. Good hearing from you this week.
Yep,
and next week's Memorial Day, but we'll still be doing a podcast, so.
Yay!
Yeah, and with Monday off.
Indeed. That's why doing a podcast is extra fun, because I'm sleeping a little bit on Monday morning.
That's right.
Yeah, I could probably stay up with a short break at 8 o'clock. I can probably stay for the whole show next week.
Okay, so you just have to take a short break to do your drugs.
Exactly.
And take your readings.
Hey, better living through chemistry.
Yep.
I've been saying that for years.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not talking about the
alcohol.
Alcohol. Well, I was thinking more about the Timothy Leary stuff, where that phrase originated.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah. No. I guess with Owsley's little yellow pills, that's where that statement came from. Oh, but anyway, hey, Mike, I'm glad that things are looking up for you and your wife, and I hope that continues to get better.
So, thanks, man.
You're in our prayers and things, so, bud, I hope things continue to progress for you guys.
Thanks.
So, hey, everybody.
Okay.
I'll catch you later. And, folks, stay subscribed and keep listening. This can only get better, because it can't get much worse than the past few episodes we've thrown at you.
Hey, I resemble that remark.
Yeah, really. Later, dude.
All right, hey, we'll see you, Barty. Yeah, speaking about health, I went to see my diabetes specialist, the one that takes care of me and my pump. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know, I have type 1 diabetes, and I'm an insulin pump. And she had this neat little device, which is for fitness people that, mm-hmm, you know, watch fitness. There's a couple ones out there. There's one called Fitbit, and then there's this other one by Jawbone called Up. And she had an Up, and she's been wearing it for the past couple of months, and she says, this is great. You know, once you tweak it in, then it basically can tell you a lot about, you know, how many, you know, what you're doing, how active you are. It even, you can put it in a sleep mode, and it'll tell you how good a sleep you're getting and whatnot. And so she and a couple other people are trying this thing. They're trying to get diabetics to start wearing these, because what happens is, when you have diabetes, especially with a pump, you do your blood checks, you know, you prick your finger and about 4 or 5 times a day, and do your blood checks, and it'll tell you what your blood sugar level is. Right. And of course, you can count carbs pretty well, so you know what you're eating, and then you can calculate how much insulin you should be taking. But when it came to exercise, you pretty much just had to guesstimate what you were doing. Mm-hmm. There was no real way of measuring it per se, and so now they've got these things, and although they're not perfect, and they certainly do come closer and help you figure out how much energy you're expending, how many calories you're burning, how many carbs you're using up. And so they're trying to get some diabetics to start wearing these things and see whether we can improve you know, glucose control and blood sugar controls with them. So I said, at first I knew nothing about the jawbone up. And I said, well, first of all, I do work in a skiff, which means no radios are allowed, although right. my insulin pump has a radio.
cat's out of the bag now.
No, they know about it, but it's a medical thing. But then I started looking at it, and first I thought what she had was a Fitbit, and I went online, and I said, oh, no, this isn't what it is. But the Fitbit has a Wi-Fi radio in it, a Bluetooth radio, and I said, well, that's right out. You know, there's no way you can use that at all. But then I looked at the jawbone up, and it doesn't have any radios in it. You actually have to plug it into your iOS or Android device to download the information. Basically, all it is a big, it's a wrist full of motion detectors, and it stores the data. It stores its own data, and then when you download it, you actually download it through the earphone plug, and which is also a microphone plug. So you actually have to physically plug it into your iOS device or Android device to up or download the information. And I looked at it and I said, well, there's no way you can get information in, no way you can get information out from a regular PC. So I said, I could wear this inside. And now these things aren't cheap. They're like $129. Ooh, okay. And I really didn't want to spend $129, but this is where one place where American Express comes in handy, because my American Express card is like my cash card. I don't really carry cash. If I'm going to spend something, I put it on the American Express, and then I pay it off at the end of the month.
Right.
But I get all these bonus points every time I spend money using or use the American Express card. And I had a whole bunch of points just sitting out there. And I went online and I looked into the rewards thing, and sure enough, there was the jawbone up. And, I had like, I think I had like 36,000 points, and this was only 18,000 points or 16,000 points. And I said, oh, that's nothing. So I used some of my reward points, and so I'm going to get it, and I'm going to join the experiment here and see whether it can help you. Because I do have to say that I have to really watch it, especially on the weekends, because I'm much more active on the weekends. Mm-hmm. And if you're not careful, and this is a big thing, what they're trying to counteract is you can go low on your blood sugar, and that causes all sorts of problems. And, you know, if you're not around something that you could eat real quick.
Right.
You can find yourself in a
bad way.
Yes.
You get a visit by somebody like me.
Yes. Exactly. So I'll be interested to see this, and you know, it's just a way to get alerted, and, you know, I'd be able to, because I always have my own iPhone on me except when I'm at work, and that's there, it's just in a storage bin outside. I'm not so worried about work as I am the weekends and stuff, so I'm looking forward to seeing whether this actually helps me control the lows,
right,
as well as the highs. And I noticed, Mike, you added a note to this.
Yeah. I'm really not at liberty to say who without talking to about it first, but let's just say I know somebody very highly placed in the engineering environment of this company. And he and I have done development on numerous projects in the past, including putting some stuff up on the ISS. So I'm actually going to be visiting this person in regards to this product on my trip to WWDC. So
oh, really?
I'll be able to do an extended report on that as well, because we, as our listeners know, besides being a medic, I'm also a code monkey. And those two worlds do combine for me. I write medical apps and do medical device development.
Wow, neat.
So there may be some accessories to this product that you may be able to test for us. So.
Oh, I'd be more than happy to do that, because I think this is the neat way to use technology, when it can help you out. Let's face it, you know, if I lived 100 years ago and I got the sad news that I was a type 1 diabetic, chances are I wouldn't have made it to my 40th birthday. Right. Chances are I wouldn't have made it to my 30th birthday, actually, because I got it when I was 22 years old. You know, and now here I am, just turned 55, and going strong, and I have even noticed the significant differences in technology and how it's helped me go along, take care of the diabetes and down to the insulin pumps now and the better glucometers. I mean, before you would have to go and get your A1C at the doctor, which is a way that they can look at, well, I call it the doctors can tell whether you're cheating or not, because you give them all your logs and everything and say, oh, yeah, this is what I did. Yeah. And they say, really? Because your A1C is not telling you that. It's basically they can tell what your average glucose reading was for the past 3 months or so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And before, you used to go to the doctor and they'd actually pull blood from you and they'd have to send it off to a lab and everything. Well, now you go to the doctor and they do a finger prick and they give you the A1C right there. They got a machine that does it, to the point now that they make home A1C machines that you can get if you're, you know, so desire to do your own A1C. I don't. I just get it done at the doctor's office. I do daily finger pricks and then get my A1C when I visit my specialist every 3 months. So, but any kind of technology like this, it helps out and makes you be able to live a more normal life on something like that. I'm all for, and I will help out. You know,
absolutely.
So it's neat. And yes, Michael, I would definitely be interested in hearing about anything like that.
Well, as soon as I officially get released to talk about what we're doing, I'll let you know.
That sounds good to me. So, all right. 440 a gallon?
For regular, yes, in Minnesota and northern Wisconsin.
That's a dollar more than what we're paying here, practically.
Something's going on with refineries in Minnesota and Illinois, and quite frankly, I was not paying any attention to that because my wife and I had other things in our mind when we were down at Mayo this week. But on the way back up, we've been driving for a while because we filled the truck up, and the truck was full. You know, it's a diesel. We weren't even thinking about looking at gas stations, but we were going by a Fleet Farm, and Fleet Farms are legendary. The closest thing I could think of is like Tractor Supply. I don't know if you got those on Eastern.
Oh, yeah, we got Tractor Supply out here.
But think of Tractor Supply on steroids. I mean, it's the one-stop store. It's everything you need. And but they don't have them up in the UP. So we're driving by a Fleet Farm in northern Wisconsin, and my wife goes, or actually it was in Minnesota, and she goes, Fleet Farm. $4.30 a gallon, and Fleet Farms are cheap for gas.
Wow.
She goes, did I see that right? And I'm like, I don't know. So I said, well, we probably should top off the truck. You know, we're down to about half a tank. So we pull into this gas station, and diesel's like $3.90-something a gallon, and regular was $4.40. And I saw it as high as $4.55 as you got near Minneapolis.
Ouch!
Yes.
Man.
We were really glad we had the truck for this trip.
Really? I mean,
as we're humming along at 26 to 28 miles to the gallon. That thing is awesome. I don't know what they did with it, but this particular truck is awesome.
Wow. That is great. Oh, speaking of last Friday, a week ago now, I had to get my car inspected, and it was due for an oil change. And while I was there, they said, you know, your air filter's pretty crappy, and it's probably we need to change that out. And I said, well, yeah, go ahead and everything. I'm not thinking about how important your air filter is. I mean, this just reminds me of this every time. Mm-hmm. Before I went in, I was getting an average of 45 to 49 miles a gallon, with the average more around 47. Mm-hmm. And I said, wow, that's down from what I used to get. And I was saying, well, it's probably the age of the car. You know, the car's 8 years old now. I'm sure some battery degradation's going on. And And so it's using the gas motor more. So naturally, my mileage is going to go down and stuff. Well, they changed the air filter, and I don't think they did much anything else to the engine except for change the oil, which I have. And this past week, I am back up to 50 and 51 miles per gallon.
Really?
Just from changing the frickin' oil filter.
Air filter.
Yeah. I said, that must have been one hell of a dirty air filter.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like you were trying to drag air through a pair of denim blue jeans.
Yeah. So I just had to mention that because you were talking about your truck and getting good mileage on that, and thank God. But I'm like, wow, thank God for being up there. And I got to say, man, oh, and I passed 150,000 miles
really
on my car this past week. Cool. So, you know, with a car with 150,000 plus miles on it now, and I'm still getting 50, 51 miles to the gallon.
Yeah, you see, you can't go wrong with that. I mean, that car has paid for itself, and then some. It owes you nothing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and it still drives the same as it did when the first day I got it.
It's a Toyota. Of course it does.
Yeah. I mean, well, I don't know about other Toyotas, but I like my Prius.
Yeah. It's, yeah, you've got me looking at him. I got a buddy of mine who unfortunately had a car crash. He's fine. Mm. Everybody was fine from it, and he was fighting with the insurance companies and had a 2000 Honda Accord. Mm. And one of the things that, you know, we were looking at cars and he talk, you know, chit-chat and water cooler talk kind of thing. And I said, buddy, you know, not for nothing, he has a pretty substantial ride to work, longer than yours is, Barry.
Wow.
And he's coming from, what is it, the New Boston, Goffstown area all the way down to Wilmington, Mass.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. And I said, you ought to look at a Prius. And he looked at me and goes, what? I says, my best friend has a Prius. And I swear to God, every time he tells me, oh, life's getting hard, I had to put $22 of gas in the car in the past 10 days, I want to throw up. And I said, realistically, you know, while I was driving my truck, I was putting $20 a day in the truck.
Huh. Yeah.
And I wasn't going anywhere near as far. I said, so you want to look at him? He said, ah, the batteries and this and that. I said, you know. So did a little research, calling around to different Toyota dealerships and service departments.
Yeah.
Not one has had to replace the batteries in their Prius 1s yet.
Mm. No. The Prius 1s, which in the battery technology has improved so much since then, they're still running around on their original batteries.
Yep. Yours is a Prius 1, isn't it?
No, I have a Prius 2. But the Prius 1 was the sedan.
Okay.
Yeah, the Prius 2, I have a Prius 2, basically. Well, my style came out in 2004. I have a 2005.
Right.
So, I mean, not one problem with them whatsoever. Yep. And, you know, it's funny because today I had to go get gas for the lawnmower. And I have 2 5-gallon jugs that I use, you know, gas things, because I don't like to go for it every week or so.
Right.
And so I filled those two up and I put them in the car and I looked at the thing and it was like, holy crap. I said, that cost me more than filling my car up. and my car runs for a week on that. So
that's funny.
Yeah, because, you know, it's 10 gallons. I usually only put between, depending on when I get gas, 7 and 9 gallons, but I've never gone over putting 9 gallons in it. I don't know how big the tank is, but I'm assuming it's like an 11 gallon tank. But you know, when it gets down to the first with the one block left, it's usually got a couple gallons in there. Mm-hmm. Still, but yeah, so you know, I'm not used to putting more than 7 to 9 gallons in the car at all. And this was 10 gallons, and I'm like, wow, that's expensive to ride to cut grass.
It cost me $16 round trip just to go to Calumet.
Wow. That's down the road, about 40 minutes?
Well,
45?
Yeah, it's 45 minutes. It's 35 miles.
Wow. Really? $16?
Roughly, yeah.
See, because I do.
In my Jeep. It's a little cheaper in the truck, but in the Jeep, it's about $16 round trip.
Oh. Ouch.
Yep.
That hurts. Sorry, Michael. That hurts.
Prius is starting to sound pretty darn good. Can you put a trailer on the back of one of those?
You know, you can get the bigger one.
I did. I researched them because I thought, you know what? And here's a funny thing, because as I said to my wife, and we were chit-chatting, and obviously we're putting a Band-Aid on the truck to get her back on the road, but it's just to buy some time.
Yeah.
And I said to Debbie, I said, you know, not for nothing, I says, but what in the hell do I need this big-ass four-wheel drive pickup truck for? It's not like I work construction, because I don't.
Yeah.
And I said, if I have to ever take my bike to the shop, say, to get work done, I said, well, my truck, because of the lift kit, was so damn high, there's no way in hell I could have put the street bike in the back of the bed. I mean, literally, the ramps that I would need have to either be A, they'd be at about a 71-degree angle,
yeah,
or B, they'd have to be 65 feet long. So you can put the bike in the bed. So I was thinking about it. I said, so I'd always end up using my buddy's snowmobile trailer anyway. He's got this one of those flat, open sled trailers.
Yep.
And I said, boy, I said, not for nothing, but gas is just, it's ridiculous. I was driving her little purple Dodge around, and, you know, I don't even think about gas. And every time I got in my truck, when I closed the door and hit the ignition key, that was the first thing I thought about, was where am I at in gas? Mm. How far will I go? And do I got enough cash in my pocket to go get more to get home?
Right.
So I thought about it, and I said, man, a Prius is actually pretty smart. I was talking to my buddy Brian about him. I thought, well, wait a minute. An electric motor is one of the most torqueous damn things ever.
Uh-huh.
I mean, honest to God, an electric motor will out-torque a gasoline internal combustion engine by a long shot. So I thought, and then I was driving home, and I saw a Prius. I think it was like yours, but maybe a year or two newer. It was
Okay. Where
they kind of squared them up just a little bit. It was still the hatchback.
Right.
And they had a trailer hitch on the back.
Huh.
And I went, and I'm thinking, they're pulling. And it was like, you know, it was a 2-inch receiver, not the 3-inch. And I thought, they're pulling a pop-up trailer or a little pull-along trailer. I'm like,
a lot of people get those little, you know, we're talking about, you know, getting the pull-along trailer that you can put the, you know, the sides on or take them off or whatever. Just kind of flat.
Right, so if you want to take, like, yard waste to the dump.
Yeah, or you're going to Home Depot and you're picking up something that's not going to fit in the car.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You throw it in a little trailer, you take it up, drop it off.
Oh, yeah, those cars can deal with that.
Yeah, no problem. I said to myself, between that and studded snow tires, and if I use what I call the Barry J. rule of vacation, which means if I wake up and you look out the window, and it's snowing to beat the band, and that's what the weatherman's saying, you go, you know what? This looks like a vacation day for me, because I am not driving my front-wheel drive car to do a nor'easter.
Yeah. Right.
And if you look out the window at work when you're fortunate enough to make your way to the cafeteria, and you look and you hear the weather, and they say, oh, we're expected to get 12 inches of snow between 10 o'clock and 2.
You go home.
Time to go.
Yep. See ya.
Otherwise, with Boston traffic, and this is for any one of the 4.3 listeners we have, in the greater Boston area, the traffic alone is horrific. That's being polite.
Yeah.
Now, if you take into add into that, New England drivers, as a rule of thumb, are, I think, in pre-training for demolition derby as professional drivers. And now you throw a foot of snow on that, there's cars crashing and sliding off the road everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can beat it by getting ahead of the storm and getting ahead of the what I like to call the paint trading, trading paint up the highway, then realistically, you leave early. You leave early or you don't go. It's like, you know what? Yeah. Tomorrow, everything will be plowed out. Everything will be good.
And you can drive. And I'll tell you, the Prius, even on packed snow, works great. Matter of fact, you put it in that B setting, which is kind of low. Like I said, I can take my foot off the gas pedal and almost come to a complete stop. Mm-hmm. And you don't have gear shifting that kind of could make you slide or anything, because it's got the
constant traction.
Constant velocity transmission. So you just kind of you go the speed you need to go.
Right.
I just keep it in B. And drive when there's snow on the ground. It's the only place I would run into problems if I slid off the road into deep snow or there was deep snow on the road.
Which you're going to have that anywhere.
Right, yeah. So, I haven't really had too many problems. I actually like the way the control I get on a slick road with it. So, Michael, you got a call from Rochester. Oh, yeah. Rochester. Oh, no. I'm sorry.
Different show.
Oh.
But, so, as I said, we came home to this note on the door. Mm-hmm. My garage door, by the way, not the house. And I'm a little freaked out, so I checked the mailbox, and there's nothing in there. And I checked the answering machine, checking to see if there's a message from Bank of America, which there was not. But there was a message on there from Friday, and it was, "Hi, this is Officer So-and-so from the Rochester Police Department. We've noticed that your truck has been parked on such and such on-ramp of the city garage for the last week. And there's going to be some construction going on here, and we really don't want to tow it. Well, we put the truck in valet parking with the hotel, and apparently they had trouble parking this 6-passenger, 8-foot bed, full-size Dodge Cummins, and found a creative place to park it for the week."
On the street?
Well, I was on a city on-ramp somewhere for a parking garage. But,
un-freaking believable.
No, these guys, I want to just, back up a second. The hotel was fantastic to us. These guys are great. But I'm going to give them a little bit of a good-natured hard time about this. If this thing got towed...
Yeah, the hotel is paying my tow. They're paying for my room. They're lucky I don't.
No. But they would be paying for the tow, that's for sure.
Yeah, really? And to get it out of impound. You know what it costs to get a vehicle? I used to tow cars that were in police impound. And you could spend an easy $1,000 for 2 days to get a car out of police impound. Easy.
Well, that would be the hotel's problem.
Yeah.
But it was not the phone call I was expecting.
No, wow. That would be enough to. Boy, talk about your stomach turning circles on more than one occasion.
Well, but this wasn't the typical phone call. It was a female officer. She sounded almost embarrassed to even call me, and it's like, "We really don't want to do this. And is there any way you could possibly?" In the meantime, I'm sure she's looking at the phone number, going, "I'm calling a home phone in Michigan somewhere. It's not gonna work." Because the truck's here. And, it's mail. I can't say enough about Rochester and the area around where the clinic is. And I felt like I was walking down the street of Ottawa in Canada.
Oh, nice.
People were nice. Yeah. It was a good environment to go when you had to go get some healing. Mm. So it was just a weird phone call to get on the way home.
Jeez. That's incredible. So you getting your hotel reservations for WWDC? You don't have them yet?
Yes. Well, that's, again, this is the company. So I'm like, "Hey, guys, we really got to get on this." And like, there were a lot of things going on. But finally, they still hadn't gotten, we were going back and forth. We're putting out other fires at work. I said, "Guys, we don't have a hotel room for me at WWDC. I guarantee you most of the decent deals went like 90 seconds after the first 90 seconds after the tickets were sold." And the person who controls the money in the company said, "Oh, no problem. It's good on hotels.com. You should be able to find something under $100. And I'm like,
maybe under $250.
San Francisco. Plug in the dates of the conference and look at hotels.com. And the average price in the metropolitan area of San Francisco and South San Francisco was like $300 a night. And they came back to me like, okay. How far are you willing to drive? And I'm like, "Well, first of all, I'm not driving."
Yeah.
I said, "Tell you what, I'll do some research and get back to you." Now, fortunately, I have traveled outside of the boundaries of the United States, so I have some other standards I'm willing to put up with.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know if I want to give out the name of the hotel on the show, but I am staying at a place. I gave them the name, and they're like, "Are you willing to stay here?" I said, yeah. It's a 1.5-star hotel.
Mm-hmm.
But... it's a 1.5-star, but it has a 4.5 out of 5 rating.
Right.
From
so it's
hotel.com.
Right.
It's basically a European style hostel.
Okay.
You do have a room, the door that closes and locks.
Right.
But there's no bathroom, there's no sink.
You share.
There's one community bathroom for the floor.
Huh.
There's basically enough room to walk in and keep your feet and legs between the bed and the wall. There's no closet.
I've stayed in a hotel like that.
But it does have free Wi-Fi.
Hmm.
And it's actually only 1.2 miles away from Moscone. It's up on Telegraph Hill in that area. Okay. I don't know if you guys are familiar with San Francisco.
I've been there a couple times, but I'm not real familiar with.
I've been there quite a bit. Hmm. And I have no issue walking 1.2 miles. I do have an issue walking 1.2 miles through some of the neighborhoods, which would be the closest path through there.
All right.
So I probably... there is trolley. Well, there's trolley and there's bus.
Mm-hmm.
Cab is last resort. And BART goes all the way out to the airport now.
Hmm.
So I can get off the plane and take BART downtown, and then I'll have to switch transportation modes. But basically, for about $100 a night, I do have a nice, I won't say quiet, that's why I travel with earplugs, hotel room that is decent distance away from Moscone. So we pulled it out at the end, but it's partially because I don't think your average geek would be willing to stay in a place like this.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you flying into San Francisco or Oakland?
No, I'm going to fly into San Francisco.
Okay.
Actually, I'm flying in on the 8th, and somebody who used to work for me at US Robotics is now a senior person at iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be catching up with him over the weekend, and then probably sleeping on his couch. I'm not afraid to do that either. He offered, okay. So I'll spend the weekend out in the Cupertino area, and then head out to San Francisco and go to this hotel on Sunday night, and then I'll commute to the conference from there.
Okay, that's not too bad.
No.
But that rolls into a conversation I had today, actually. That goes down like two or three spots in our notes. And I'm in one of the businesses here in Copper Harbor, and I'm telling the owner of the business, like, yeah, I'm staying in basically a European-type hostel. And she goes, well, you should just stay in the guest room with my sister. You know, she's only an hour's drive away. I'm like, well, an hour's not going to cut it, but where's your sister live? She goes, Petaluma.
Huh?
Really? Well, I'm planning on going to this week in tech after. So she's actually going to call her sister. Somebody from Copper Harbor has a sister who I know who lives in Petaluma. So,
and Petaluma's not a very big town, I've been told.
No, it's not.
So you're going to go to this week in tech, too?
I'm planning on doing that. I'm going to go visit my brick.
Oh, that's cool.
Remember, I got a brick wall there.
Oh, neat.
And I've got a couple of reservations for... ongoing parties during the week with the big Nerd Ranch people. You know, going to go achieve Nerdvana.
There we go. It's just going to be one giant geek week for you.
Yeah, it is.
Lots of reports from the field. We're going to have right. extended and more multiple episodes of Late Night QRM.
That's right.
Just like Leo, Late Night QRM Live.
There we go. We'll do it. And I still haven't started my 10-minute podcast, and you've been keeping dutifully up with the podcast that shall not be named, up to number 5, right?
Well, actually, the 5th episode.
It was number 4. So yes. you were keeping on, although I think it was it number 4 or no? Was it number 4 that went 15 minutes?
That was the 4th episode, number 3. Yeah, number 3. Sorry, I screwed up there.
Number 3 went that long.
I hope that happened again.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
I was if I don't put any music on the end of this, I'll just squeak by. But I got to play a song.
You got to have music.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got to start mine up. I want to do it, and I'm going to use the iPad to do it, I think, because it's more portable, and I don't have to come up here to do it. And I did get that Boss Jock software for it, and then I already had that little iRig microphone. It's a condenser mic that I can plug in. So, and I've been playing around with it and testing out. It's a nice piece of software, it really is for the price, and actually it works on the iPhone too. So,
check it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I think it was like. I think it's $9.99. But then again, you buy it once and you can get it for your iPhone and your iPad. And yes, especially for you, Michael, because you do a lot of remote stuff. And
yes, I do.
Yeah,
and, but you know, I've been able to turn the 14-minute episode took me a lot longer than I thought, and it was I felt awkward doing it, but it practice makes better.
Sometimes. Practice makes better. It ain't rocket surgery.
Exactly.
We get done running around all the appointments during the day, and then Chris would need a three-hour nap after that, and that was Thursday, I believe, wasn't it? Yeah, and I went and I did a 10K run to nowhere, and got done with that. I thought, oh, I still got some time. Just walked down, did a 10-minute recording. Actually, I think there was 7 minutes of audio on that one, if that, and came back up, remixed it. I'm still doing all the old feed updates and everything manually. That's
right.
The way I know how to do it. But still, within an hour, I've turned out another episode, and that's fun. I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it sounds like you are, and I like them. You know, I really like, as we go on to almost 2 hours here, I really like the short podcast.
Well, you know what you're going to get from our Sunday night crew here. And
that's right.
It's time to do quality for this.
Yeah, maybe we ought to make T-shirts up. That would be cool. I mean, I already had the one T-shirt that you could go get, but maybe we should make another one. It's Late Night QRM. It ain't rocket surgery.
We'll ship no podcast before we're done talking.
The longest 10-minute podcast you'll ever listen to.
There you go.
Rocket surgery. I like that.
Rocket surgery. So, what's the Mayo bandwidth like?
It's awesome.
Really?
The one thing about the hotel, and again, other than parking on a ramp somewhere that police are calling me about, but the people at the hotel were fantastic. They made sure we had everything we needed. I had some pressing business as soon as I walked in the door, and they're like, no problem, print out what you need to do here. And they didn't have a scanner handy, so I'm like, well, I can fax it. Oh, no problem, we'll fax it for you. Again, parking this behemoth of a truck in the city is a challenge. So the valet parking was like $2 more than I could park the thing for myself at a city garage.
Wow.
Right. So that's
nothing.
Decision.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. So, they just basically, we got everything out of the truck, which was a ton of stuff. And the bell captain brought everything up to our room. They got us a nice, quiet place for us to crash for the week. Nice size room. And, but the one thing about this particular chain, they still charge for bandwidth. Not only, for Wi-Fi. Daily charge of Wi-Fi, but not only do they have a daily charge, they have standard Wi-Fi for $9.99 and streamable Wi-Fi for $14.99. I'm like, are you kidding me? So they have bandwidth in the room. It's it's either $10 a day or $14 or $15 a day. In the lobby, they've got like a 30-minute feed. So if you're willing to go down to the lobby in their business center and sit in their comfortable couches, and drink a beer from their bar. Which is not a terrible thing to do, but it's free down there.
Yeah.
But I did have business I had to take care of. But after the first day, the first night we get settled in, we start going to all the appointments at Mayo the next day, and I'm blown away at the Wi-Fi bandwidth at Mayo. I mean, it's just I think I did one or two tests, but I was averaging like 30 meg in the waiting rooms.
Wow.
And I noticed it was everywhere, and I never thought to check until we got back up to that room that night. But I could pick up the Mayo Wi-Fi network on the sixth floor of the hotel that I was in, and that was free.
Well, that's what I'd be jacking into.
Exactly.
There were a couple times I did have to do some significant financial stuff for the day job, and then I justified spending $10 for something that had to work. But I was, watching YouTube, and our youngest son had his school concert on Thursday night, and the high school streams it, and then they put it out and rebroadcast and stream after that. So Chris and I didn't get done with our stuff that we had to get done in time, but Before we went to bed on Thursday night, we sat down and streamed through Mayo's free Wi-Fi network on the sixth floor of the hotel.
Jeez.
And watched our son's band concert. So that was really cool.
Oh, neat. That is very neat.
And they have lots of time to sit in the waiting rooms.
Yeah.
Doctors were spending between 1 and 2.5 hours with my wife at each department.
Aren't you so glad the internet exists and Wi-Fi exists?
I'm glad a place like Mayo exists, because exactly. Where can you go and have somebody sit down and actually care about what you're going through for 2 hours?
Yeah.
It's almost unheard of.
Yeah.
Yes. That's why this place is the best in the country.
Yep.
Or one of the best. I'm sure there's a couple like them, but
sure.
The closest to me.
Closest to you. I mean, I'm sure there's a couple places in Boston that are.
And you know. And as a side note, with all that bandwidth, and I was watching some of Google I/O mm-hmm. during all of this, but really my mind was elsewhere. So I can't tell you the last time I did this, but probably 50% of the time I was in the waiting rooms as we went from place to place with my wife this week, I was doing crossword puzzles from USA Today. Manual with a pen and paper. and enjoying it, actually.
Yeah.
That's too funny.
Wow. Jeez. Well, speaking of technology, this week, and I didn't put this down, but this week it was Dayton. For amateur radio people, all know what Dayton's all about. It's the big hamvention that they have once a year. And I haven't heard anything about how it went this year. I'm curious to see how many people, what kind of audience they got, people attending, because it's been growing the past couple of years. So, and that's something I want to do one of these years. I've always wanted to go, and we'll have to maybe we can start thinking about doing that next year.
You mean like
make a mecca to Dayton, because it's about halfway. I think Michael and I talked about this. It was
it's almost exactly halfway.
It's about halfway between Copper Harbor and from here. So it would be very cool to do that. And that is the biggest ham fest that you ever could go to. And it's something you got to at least experience once, I think. And but you know, we got a year, so maybe we can even get Josh to get his license by then.
Well, Josh has actually been actively studying for his license.
All right.
Thank you very much. And I was talking to my wife about this, and I'll be trying to be brief because I know the show is 31 hours long, which I had said, given all the events that had happened in the past month or so down in Boston, as unfortunate as they have been, what it did bring to light was something that was quite evident now, which was law enforcement and security allowed data this time, but shut down all cell phone service.
Yep.
And that being the case, you know, most people say, I have to call my wife and tell her I'm on my way. I have to call my husband, tell him I'm on my way, so on and so forth. Well, everyone grabs by default their cell phone.
Yep.
And they will shut them all off, and they won't work for damn near half a state's distance.
Not to mention that even if they did leave them on, they're not meant to handle that kind of traffic.
Exactly. So as I had said to my wife, and I said, this is something that really, I said, it kind of rebrought it to the surface again. I said, whatever I'm driving, I don't really, you know, whatever it turns out, car or truck, really doesn't matter because they're so small. I said, however, I got to go get my ham license. I says, and you know what? You're going to get yours too, at least enough to be able to acknowledge on the radio. And she said, what are you talking about? I said, because I can have a radio in the car.
Yep.
And have one, a home base station here, a rig at home. And when all the cell phones are shut off, I can hit a couple of repeaters and go all the way from just outside of Boston up into New Hampshire and easily transmit a message to you.
Yep.
And I said, heck, I could transmit one all the way up to Michael in Copper Harbor, Michigan.
You get the right radio. Yeah, you can.
Exactly. And she said, really? I said, that's exactly why you use them. I says, if you can't get the range, I said, you're just hitting repeaters along the way.
Well, now they've got the, what's it called? The ICOM.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Yeah,
D-Star.
D-Star, right. But the other thing, too, D-Star also relies on the internet, if memory serves.
Yes, but you hit a repeater that's a D-Star repeater, and then you bounce through the internet to get...
Right. However, when the one of the things that also security was doing is when they shut off cell phone service, they're shutting down data lines. They're actually going hard lines. They're killing
everything. Oh yeah, but well, I'm saying if you were in a snowstorm or something and you couldn't get through cell traffic because everybody in their
brothers on their phone
on the phone, you could get through using a D-Star or if you just wanted to chat with Michael, you could go D-Star to D-Star and.
As I had said to her, more so, and here's what I want to get away from relying exclusively on internet technology for communication. Uh-huh. Yeah. And if I am in a communications black hole, no internet, no cell signal, I know I can hit the trigger on that two-way radio, and I will probably catch a repeater to get a message out. And I said, that's the important part. I don't want to rely on wires on a telephone pole so much over the internet, which is a commonly used thing. Yeah. Yeah. Hams hang with hams.
Right. Well, the nice thing about ham radio is it gives you all the options.
Right.
Yeah. So no matter what kind of situation you're in, there's a good chance you're going to be able to communicate with somebody.
Right.
Yeah,
so that's why I've been actively picked up and started doing my studying. Good. And jumped online and started taking, as a matter of fact, I did it 2 days ago, and I started taking some of the trial quizzes just to see where I'm at and what I need to brush up on, because I want to go for my tech license.
Yeah.
So I can use your higher bands.
Yeah. Tech. You'll get VHF and UHF, which is all your
high band radio.
Yeah. Your high band and repeaters and stuff. And then you go general. Then you can start using HF. But you know what? Once you get into using your tech, and the other stuff comes easy, and it's
Actually, it goes general tech. Then
no, it's tech general, and then extra.
Oh, tech general. Well, then I'm going to go straight to the general.
Okay. Yeah. General will give you HF privileges.
Yes, exactly. That's what I was looking to try to do. I figured, get it done once, and now pretty much I've got everything open to me, short of being able to train somebody,
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, very cool. Very neat. And if you need help, get a hold of us. And speaking of needing help, probably I will definitely get you up here because I'm the project, the SDR project.
Mm-hmm.
I successfully, because the first part was just doing the power supply, and I successfully put the power supply together, but that was all through hole soldering, and that all checked out okay. And excellent. Then I went on to the USB power supply, and that was where I hit my first SMT things. And of course, the first thing on this project is the little transmitter, regulator. Power regulator for the USB. It is the smallest SMT integrated circuit with 5 connectors, and that's the one you do first.
That's huge by SMT standards, by the way.
I know.
When you start to work with 0101 0101s, we're talking something that'll fit damn near the large size of a straight pin, the big end of a straight pin, it sits on top of that.
That's when you have machines to put them on there.
No. We do them by hand.
You are kidding me.
All last week, I was actually reworking some very, very high end.
I need you up here because I did what I thought. Well, first of all, I got some of the, and I will need extra paste solder.
Not a problem.
Because I know I'm going to go through mine pretty quick. I mean, I got it, and first of all, I watched the YouTube videos again on how to do this, and they make it so easy, and they're just dabbing a little bit of the solder paste on the pads.
Just a dabble, do you?
Yeah, and first of all, so I'm looking at this, and I said, wait a minute, you videoed this with a macro lens, didn't you? Because I'm sitting there and, trying to dab. Well, first of all, I'm trying to dab, and unlike theirs, mine doesn't stick to the pads.
Nope.
It kind of just goes, okay, and it's staying with the tube. And so then I had to take like a little pointer and take a little off.
Dental probe.
Yes, and that's what I've got, basically. And I bought a set of those at Harvard Freight.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I'm actually bringing you some up.
Oh, okay. I'll take more. And so I'm trying to dab it on, and of course I'm having problems with that too, because it just doesn't want to stick to the pads. It likes sticking to the dental probe more than it does like going on the pad. So I finally get some on there, and I'm thinking, well, according to the thing, you can kind of smear them on there, and with the flux that's in there, they should all go and go to the pads, because that's what flux is, your friend. Mm-hmm. But that's, of course, if you only put the nano millimeter mm-hmm. of actual paste that you need, mm-hmm. as opposed to the spoon-sized blob that I stuck on each pad. And
he's got shit going down all over the place.
So and then I do have an embossing gun. So I was using that, and that was actually working quite well. I was doing the circular motions over it, and I could see the flux boiling up, and I could see the solder turning, silvery.
Yep.
And boom, it's done. I've got two blobs on either side.
Two blobs, nice.
Yeah, except for it's going across three posts.
Nice. You only shorted it out.
So I bridged it really well.
Yes,
so,
you did. You immediate short the ground.
So then I said, well, this is simple. I watched another one. They said, just add more flux. And so I put more flux on and heat, or just took my soldering gun and lightly touched it. And it's supposed to automatically make it.
Receipt. Shit. I can see where this is going.
So I said, obviously I have too much.
You got to wick it off.
Solder on there, yeah. So then, that went into, I need to wick this off. I have wick solder or wick braid here somewhere, and damn if I could find it. I've looked high and low, and I know I've got a whole roll of that stuff, but and I didn't at the time. I didn't want to go all the way out the Radio Shack to pick up some more. And so then I said, well, you know what? This is a very small part, and I have braided copper wire here.
big pinch, you can do that.
Stranded copper wire. So I used that. I tried that, and I touched it, and damn, it worked.
Yep, it'll wick it off.
And I could see the three posts, and I said, good. And so everything looked good, and I put the wafer-thin capacitors in. And they went on pretty well. I didn't have any problem with those, except for trying to handle them. But I learned that you only need about 3 molecules of the paste on each pad to make a good solder point.
Solder joint.
Okay. So I did I had to put 3 of those on, and they seemed to go on very well. But then I went to do the testing, and I got my 5-volt testing. Mm-hmm. Worked out well. Well, I went to go test the 3.3, and I got 0. So I'm shorting something out, which makes me think I got to take that frickin'.
Yeah, I shorted off underneath it.
I think I remember seeing some silver underneath on the board. So I have a feeling that the solder spread underneath, and uh-huh. I'm shorting out somewhere. So that means I got to heat it up and take that damn little piece of rice off again.
Yeah.
And clean it up and try it one more time. Well, first I gotta clean the board off and get all the solder off of the pads and stuff like that.
And then you wanna use solder wick for that.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm gonna have to get some solder wick, but
I'll bring it up.
Okay, because I'm now, I know how much paste I have to use. Mm-hmm. And it's just a pain in the ass to put on there. I've seen other people, they have it, and they just I'm putting this IC thing on, and we'll just smear this a thin coat of the paste all the way across all the joints, and then they put this thing down, and they heat it up, and it does exactly what they're saying. All the solder just goes onto the pads.
Yep.
But I'm not having that luck. I think it's too much paste.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
as a rule of thumb,
yeah,
when you're doing SMT, industry standard, it can vary, but you'll usually find it as a standard.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I do, because when I order my stencils, they're never more than for 5 mils mm-hmm. worth of paste.
Okay.
So when you think about just how thin the amount of paste that I have on a pad.
Yeah.
At, you know, 5 mils. So you're not talking a lot. Yeah. And you need it on there. You want it on there as fairly evenly as possible.
Right, right.
Go ahead.
This one video, this guy, and I don't know where he got them, but he had these plastic stencils.
Yeah, I have those too.
That were cut out for the pads.
Mm-hmm.
And he put that on top, and then he took basically a box cutter.
Yeah.
Blade, and he just took some, and he just smeared it across the template.
Yep, and then lifted it off, and he had all the little pads had the right amount of paste on them.
Yeah, it was beautiful, and I said, damn, they should sell those with the kits with all the freaking templates on there. But
what do you got, home plates? Or are you using rectangles?
For?
The pads.
These are rectangles.
They're rectangular?
Yeah.
All right, so I wish I knew the size.
Well, the problem is they're all different. I think they're all kind of different size. This one is because 3x2 because it's a regulator.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, 2 on one side and 3 on the other. And it's the 3 that's giving me a hard time. But then again, like I said, I think I used too much in the solder when it, because I remember seeing silver. At first, yeah. I was thinking, did I take some of the top off of this? And I said, no, that's solder that ran. It's got to be. Right. You can't take the coating off the circuit board.
Sure you can.
Can you?
You can delam a board in a heartbeat.
Uh-oh. I hope I didn't do that. But it wouldn't be solid silver underneath, would it?
Depends on what the substrate is. Yeah, could be.
Crap.
But we'll look. It's probably just solder.
I hope
so. We'll take a look.
Yeah, because it's not going to work if I don't get this.
Exactly.
And the other thing I have to do is figure out, get the mineral spirits or something to clean up the board. Because I did notice with even the through-hole stuff that flux is your friend. And
what the hell flux are you using?
I'm just using Radio Shack flux.
No. Are you using OA No Clean? Are you using RMA?
Oh, I don't know. Hang on. I'll tell you in a second. Let me go get it. Talk amongst yourself for a second.
See, OA No Clean, organically activated No Clean flux. Yeah. You still clean with isopropyl alcohol.
Hang on.
Which is what you're supposed to be using.
Step over here.
Mm-hmm. I'm eating peanuts. Sorry, by the way. I'm damn hungry.
I was going to comment that, hey, something you're eating.
Yeah, I have roasted shelled peanuts. It's my second favorite junk food, the pretzels.
Okay.
My son brought me a stuffed cheese pizza a couple pieces of it at the start of the show here.
Ah, gotcha.
Oh, there's instructions underneath, apparently. I should have...
Really?
Well, that explains a lot.
No, it's just warning. It's just warnings. More warnings. They couldn't fit all the warnings on the front. I have non-spill paste rosin soldering flux.
It's RMA. That you got to clean off. Isopropyl alcohol.
Okay. Because, you know, it's getting I just noticed it's getting a little messy, and I want to clean it off. Yeah.
It's the best flux to solder with, because RMA flux, you can solder. If you don't know how to solder and you use RMA, you'll get a better quality solder joint. It'll flow better.
Yeah.
But it's sticky as hell.
Yep.
And it's messy.
Yeah.
And you got to clean it off with a little alcohol.
Okay. Okay. That's. I'm sure I've got that probably, or Anne-Marie's got some of that.
Yeah, it's just isopropyl alcohol.
Yeah. I think we got some upstairs. Mm-hmm. So I will do that to clean it off because, I'm getting brown spots on the board.
Yeah.
And I wanted to clean that off. And I haven't cut my leads yet, but I have to start cutting my leads. I like to leave leads.
Whoa. I'm just thought of something.
What?
Don't solder your component through your through hole and then cut your leads. You cut your leads to length, place them through the through hole, solder it, look for 100% barrelful if it's class 3, 75% if it's class 2. If you cut your leads after you stick them through and solder it, you can actually shatter the solder joint.
Yeah, I did not know that. Because everything I've ever seen, people, I guess the amateurs, they solder it and then they snip them.
Well, they can if you want, but don't be surprised. I mean, it opens the possibility. I'm not going to be, you know, all drama. It opens the possibility for a sub. Basically, it's a miniaturized crack through the solder joint, which will open up once with heat and expansion.
Okay.
So if you get something that starts to work intermittently,
yeah,
and you're diagnosing the board down, you go, why the hell is it always works when I first turn it on, but as soon as it gets hot, it stops?
Yeah,
that's your reason.
Okay.
Class three devices, which are military, anything that's in a military application, you are not allowed to trim the leads after it's been soldered.
Wow.
It's called preform. You preform your leads, put them through, solder them.
Okay. Well, I learned something new every day.
Yeah, well, my life's just an entire bucket full of useless information.
I don't think that's too useless. So you can come up next weekend and we'll have fun. You can see what, you know, I'm sitting there. I've got these tweezers that the kind that you you press them to release them, which are nice with these little things because, you know, you can just release, you know, basically you release the grip on the thing and it holds the thing in place. But I'm like, oh, please don't fly off. Please don't fly.
Josh, back in 1974, actually 73 when I built this thing, things have changed a little bit in amateur radio because I passed my amateur radio, my first novice test in November of 1973, and my license arrived on my birthday in January of 1974.
Wow.
So it took a little while for things to process.
Yeah.
So once I passed the test, my parents bought me, I had a homebrew HF rig that actually Barry had a picture that he scanned of earlier this year or last year, whenever that was. But my parents bought me a Heathkit HW7 QRP rig.
Right.
And it was a 3-band transceiver. And my Elmer and I were joking at the time. And I said, yeah, I was thinking about doing a speed stuff on this. And he's like, well, what did you mean? He's like, well, I was going to stuff all the parts through the boards, bend the leads, put one turn of solder in each, and hit it across with a benzomatic torch. There we go. That's my wave soldering.
There you go. And did it work?
Well, I didn't really do it that way. I actually had a soldering station.
Each and every lead, yep.
It worked.
I can have an appreciation for that. When you were, I thought about you, Barry, with regards to your project here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went ahead and I pulled out my old oven, my old toaster oven down in the basement. Because I was thinking about, again, this weekend coming up, long weekend, doing a radio show, barbecue, grill, beers, the whole nine yards.
Yep.
I'm like, you know, we'll populate the whole board and reflow the whole thing all at one shot.
Okay. Well, let's plan on it. Because I want to get this thing done. I want to play with the part I know about, software.
Okay.
I could have bought this thing put together already for an extra $20, but I thought it would be fun and a learning experience to do it myself.
Well, if that's the case, then we'll do it. We'll put them all on by hand so you learn how to solder real good by the time you're done.
See, the reason I was leaving the long things on is because I was using this heat gun on the thing, and I was worried. Yeah, I'm stupid, but I was worried that I would, of course, I did see some of the closer through-hole ones starting to heat up and reset.
Yep, they will.
But I was worried that if they were clipped, they might fall out.
That's a valid point. I mean, a lot of times your through-hole, that's why you use cut and clinch.
Yeah.
So you stick it through the hole, then you clinch it. That way, when you do reflow, if you have to reflow a certain spot or the solder does get hot, it still holds itself in the hole when in the solder.
So what is clinching?
Clinching, inward clinch, outward clinch. That's for your leads. You bend them in. If you've already soldered it, that ship sailed.
Well, no, I do that anyway because you know I put them through and then I usually push him out.
Yeah, outward clinch. Yeah. So long as you don't violate any space of the component on the bottom side of the board where it's too close, and then you're good to go. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, you're going to come up here and you're going to laugh.
No, I am not. I don't know shit from a hole in the wall.
You're going to look at it and you're going to go, this fucking thing's never going to get anything. Don't worry about the software.
If this turns on, it'll be an ever-loving miracle.
All right. Well, I think we better end it because we're way over 2 hours now. We still got a song to play. We do have a musical guest tonight. It's John Torres and his song, Where We Are. And with that, next week is Memorial Day. Hope everybody has a good Memorial Day weekend. Of course, we'll be doing a podcast in the middle of that weekend. Matter of fact, I might take the next week off. I'm at least taking a couple of days, and I'm now toying with taking the whole week off because my wife's off, so we might do some day trips because we're not going on vacation anywhere this year. So
nice.
We figured a couple day trips here and there because we watch Chronicle on the local Channel 9 station.
And isn't that awesome?
I love that show. And then what's nice is Channel 9, which is the New Hampshire station, puts Chronicle on at 7 o'clock, followed by Inside Edition or whatever, which we don't like to watch. So we watch Chronicle. Anyway. Well, the Channel 5 station in Boston puts Inside Edition on at 7 o'clock, followed by their Chronicle.
Right.
So we watch New Hampshire Chronicle, and then we flip over to Channel 5 and watch the Boston Chronicle.
Right.
And between the two, you know what's going on everywhere in New England.
Mm-hmm.
And we got a few good ideas and places we want to visit. So,
very cool.
Yeah. All thanks to Chronicle. So, all right. So we want to say everybody out there. Oh, by the way, yesterday was Armed Forces Day.
Yes, it was.
So for all the military people out there, past and present, thank you for your service.
Indeed.
And for you guys that are active duty right now out there or in the reserves, thank you for what you're doing. And both CONUS and OCONUS, and you OCONUS guys, we hope you get back home to your family and friends real soon. So with that, from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, this is Barry J.
From the southeast corner of New Hampshire, this is Jash.
And from the geographical center of Lake Superior, this is Michael.
And I was waiting for the virtual Uper. You always say that. That's your last name, isn't it? The virtual Uper?
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us here on Show 95. Show 96 next week. And here's John Torres. Samson, speak. Good boy.